Got a Bible, you turn with me to 3 John, and this is our third week in this very short book, shortest book in the New Testament, shortest number of words. We've been looking through this over the past number of weeks, and really the big theme of 3 John is walking in the truth. That's what we've been unpacking over the last few weeks, and we've been thinking that people who are walking in the truth bring joy. That's what we saw in our first week. The Apostle John, who wrote this short letter, said, I have no greater joy than to know that you're walking in the truth. And then last week, as we unpacked it, we saw people walking in the truth show love. We thought about real practical love through practical hospitality for other people. And this week, we're really going to focus on the last number of verses, from verse 11 through to verse 15, where we're told that people walking in the truth imitate good. We're not just going to read these last few verses. It's a short letter. And so just for the help of context, just to put it all together, let's take time and read this letter again. Let's listen to God's word again this morning. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church about Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them. Amen. So reads God's word. I think this image here on the screen perhaps captures how many of you are feeling this morning. For many of us as Christians, we feel we are swimming against the flow. We are swimming against the tide of public and popular opinion in our culture today. It feels that many of us are going in a completely different direction from the rest of society. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? We've had cakes, we've had referendums, and many of you sitting here this morning might feel a little bit uneasy. It seems that the tide has definitely turned and we are swimming in a completely different direction. I've read a lot of online comments this week about some of the issues. Christians have been portrayed as dinosaurs, people who are out of touch with society, hate-filled bigots, and people who need to be left behind if society is to move on and to go forward. We're swimming against the flow. But here's the reality, folks. Nothing has changed this week. Nothing of real significance has changed this week. God is still sovereign. God is still the mighty God. Jesus Christ is still alive. And Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. This text that is above my head has not gone out of date this week. It is still true. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus Christ is still the only Savior. Truth is still the truth. The truth that was the truth when this book, Scripture, was written thousands of years ago is still truth today and will still remain truth in the future. Nothing of eternal significance has changed this week. But let's not be surprised if we are swimming against the flow. Those who follow the truth have always been in the minority. In the UK, we've been lulled into a false sense of security. This myth that we live in a Christian country. It's Christian in nominal terms only. But how do we respond? How do we respond as we swim against the flow. How do we respond in the workplace as conversations come up? How do we respond in university, in the college classroom, in the school classroom? How do we respond in the neighborhood or maybe in our own homes, whatever our situations would be? Do we give up? Do we admit it to fate? We're just going in a completely different direction. Do we just give in and go with the flow, just swim with the popular consensus of culture and society? Do we follow society rather than truth? No, as Christians, our priority is to keep walking in the truth. We keep believing the truth. We keep obeying the truth. We keep abiding in the truth, as 2 John put it, living close by it, and we keep proclaiming the truth as well. Do you know what else we do? We keep showing love. People walking in the truth show love. That's what we need to keep doing. Keep showing love, and we need to keep imitating good. That's what this passage speaks about here, imitating good. What does imitating good mean? Keep doing what is right. That's what good is. Keep doing what is right. And this morning, we really want to focus on this last section from verse 11 through to verse 15. As we already said, this is the shortest letter in the New Testament. It's written by the Apostle John. Although you'll not find his name here, most people believe this is written by John, just with similarities from the other letters, similarities with John's gospel, phrases that are used. Written by the Apostle John to somebody in a local church, a man called Gaius. Now, we're not told much about him. We know he's a believer. He's walking in the truth, and he's bringing great joy to the Apostle John. And we know that because he's walking in this truth, this local believer, he's showing love. I thought about this last week. Visitors have come, strangers have come, sent out by John, visiting missionaries as such to this local church. He's welcomed them, and he's shown them great love. In contrast to Gaius in this letter, we come across another character. His name is Diotrephes. Seems that Diotrephes is a leader in this local church, but he's got a problem. The problem is he loves himself more than other people. He claims to know the truth. He claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but he's not walking in the truth. He's not showing love. He's rejecting these visitors from John. Maybe he's threatened by them. Maybe they come with an authority that is threatening his authority. And instead of showing love, he rejects them. But he doesn't stop there. Anybody in the local church who's welcoming these people, he wants to throw them out. He wants to abuse church discipline and gets rid of anybody who's showing love for these visitors from the Apostle John. So here's this Christian Gaius. He's a member of a local church, and he's facing hostility. He's facing opposition. Now, his opposition isn't coming from outside the church. His opposition is actually coming from within the church itself. He's walking in truth, showing love, facing opposition. Probably the Diotrephes wants to throw him out of the church as a result of his actions. And I'm sure in his heart he's maybe at times feeling discouraged. This faithful Christian is perhaps growing weary in doing good. So how should he respond? Should he just give up? Should he just walk away? Should he just give in and go with the flow? Just go along with the Diotrephes? Just go along with what he's doing, what he's saying? Just to avoid conflict? Just to make life easier, just go with the flow in this situation. No. Do you know what his priority is? His priority is exactly the same as ours living here in 2015. The priority for this man, Gaius, is to keep walking in the truth. So John writes this letter, and he writes to encourage him to keep walking in the truth. He starts at verse 11 with the word, beloved. You see it there right at the start of the verse? It's not the first time we've come across that word. In fact, the three sections, the way I've split up this passage, each one starts with that word, beloved. So if you look at verse 2, it says, beloved, I pray. Then at verse 5, beloved is a faithful thing. And then verse 11, beloved, do not imitate evil. This word beloved really means dear friend. Dear friend. So he writes to really encourage. Perhaps somebody who's feeling discouraged and somebody who's feeling weary. He wants to encourage him. And so he gives him a commandment. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Don't imitate evil. In other words, don't mimic Diotrephes. See this man in your church who's causing this havoc? He is living a life which is displaying evil. He's not doing what is right. Don't mimic him. Don't copy him. Instead, imitate good. Imitate what's the right right thing to do. Now, at this point, these two people are going in opposite directions. Gaius is walking in the truth, and he's showing love. Diotrephes is denying the truth, and he's withholding love. And so John writes to encourage this dear friend to keep going and to keep doing the right thing. I don't want to get into the technicalities of the Greek language here, but really as he writes to him, it's really he's asking for a continual action. Keep on imitating. See what you've been doing in the past? You have been imitating good. Keep on doing it. Don't stop. Just keep on doing the right thing. That's really what this phrase is saying here. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep on imitating. In fact, a life of doing good, a life of imitating good, is evidence of your salvation. Let's look again at verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. What's that really say? The fact that you do good is evidence of your salvation, that you really are a true believer. It reminds me of Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, Jesus is talking about false teachers. He says, how do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference between somebody who's a false teacher and somebody who's a true teacher? And Jesus said these famous words. He says, by their fruit you shall know them. It's by their actions. How do you know an apple tree is an apple tree? You look for the fruit. You see apples growing on it. How do you know an orange tree is an orange tree? You look for the fruit. You see the oranges growing. How do you know somebody's genuine? How do you know somebody is a real believer? You look for the evidence. You look for the fruit. You look for the signs that you can see that this person is a true, genuine believer. And when you see goodness, when you see people who are continually doing what's right, that's an evidence that these people are from God. But if you look at somebody's life, they may call themselves a Christian. They may be a leader in the church like this man Diotrephes. They may say these things, but look at their actions. By their fruit you shall know them. Look at the way he's acting. Look at the way he's not showing love. Look at the harshness, the way he's treating the other believers as well. That shows that this is a man who has not seen God. Now, none of us have seen God. The Bible teaches that. But what does that phrase mean, to have seen God? It means that you know God. That you're a true believer and you're somebody who is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. A life of good can only be produced with God within you. God is living in you through the Holy Spirit. You will do what is right. You will live a life of good. And it's evidence that you really are from God. Somebody who claims to be a Christian, somebody who continues to do the wrong thing, persistent, unrepentant sin, is like the altar face. And that person is not a true believer. It's an evidence that they haven't seen God. Their life and actions, proof that they're not from God. And Gaius here is urged to imitate good, the proof that he's really a Christian. In the past, Christians used to be mocked. And one of the, well, Christians have always been mocked, but one of the ways they were mocked was, oh, they're just do-gooders. I haven't heard that phrase for a while, but it used to be quite common. Oh, he's just a do-gooder. That's all he is. And it was thrown out as a sort of term of derision. Oh, he's just a do-gooder. That's actually a compliment. Okay? If somebody calls you a do-gooder, don't be offended by that. That is one of the highest compliments you've been given. You're a do-gooder, you do what is right. That's exactly what a Christian needs to be, a do-gooder. Because it's evidence that you know God. Fruit that Christ is living in your heart through the Holy Spirit. And so to encourage us to walk, it's always good to have godly role models. Good people in our lives who set an example and encourage us to do good and to live out the Christian life. So Paul wasn't another apostle. Paul was a leader in the church. And if you read through many of Paul's letters, quite often he uses the same phrase. He says, imitate me. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. He was a leader in the church. He was to set a godly example to the people who he pastored and the people he encouraged in the faith. And as he encouraged people to do good, as he encouraged people to live for Jesus Christ, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, follow me. Follow my example as I am living my life for Christ. And so it's good at times to have godly role models and godly examples who encourage us to do good in the Christian life. And what John does here in the letter is he gives Gaius a godly role model to imitate. Look at verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So we've got two other people apart from Gaius in this letter, both beginning with the letter D. We've got Diotrephes. He's somebody to avoid. Don't imitate him because he's evil in his actions. But here's somebody to imitate. Here's a good, godly role model. It's a man called Demetrius. Imitate him. Now, we don't know much about this man, Demetrius. It's just one of these names that's included in this letter without a biographical background to him. So we don't know much about who he was. We don't actually know his situation. Was he another member of this local church? Was he a member of the same church that Gaius was a member of? Some people actually think he was one of the men sent from John, one of the traveling missionaries. Some people think he was actually the one who brought this letter and handed it over to Gaius to read. We're not sure. But what we do know about this man is that he was godly. And he was walking in the truth. And it says everybody had a good word about him. Everybody had a good testimony. When they thought about this man, Demetrius, nobody could find fault with him. He's a good man. The way he lives his life, he walks the talk. Okay, this is a good man with a good testimony with everyone. He was somebody who would stand out from the crowd from the way that he lived his life. In fact, and a very interesting phrase here, John Busy says that the truth itself testifies to the good man that he is. He's received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. His life matches up to the truth. If you were playing a game of Snap, you know that game where you're looking for two cards that match? If you put the truth on one side and you put Demetrius' life on the other side, you'd have to say Snap. Because his life matches the truth. The truth is testimony that he is a good man who is walking in the truth. If you were to test this man's life by truth, he would pass the test. Now, that doesn't mean he was perfect. We knew he wasn't perfect. Human being just like us. The only person who was perfect he ever lived here on planet Earth was Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? It means his life was a consistent life. He was consistently walking in the truth. He was consistently showing love, and he was doing the right thing. So as John writes, he says, don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged by this man, Diotrephes. Copy godly Demetrius instead. Use him as your role model. As you imitate good, imitate his life as well. Now, as Christians, ultimately, we have to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect example. He's the perfect example for us to follow. He is the one who lived a perfect life here on earth. He's the one who died on the cross for our sins, who rose again. He is the one who is our Savior, and he is the one who is our great example for living a life here on earth. That's why when we looked at Hebrews 12 a few Sunday nights ago, Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, looking on to Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. He is the perfect one. And so as Christians, that's our ultimate goal, to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. That's why we need to spend time reading God's word. Can't see Jesus physically, but as we read God's word, it helps us to fix our eyes on Jesus. It helps us to imitate him, the perfect example. That's why it's good to listen to God's word. And as we come to church, as we sing songs, as we pray, as we take of the Lord's table, this all helps us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. It all helps us to walk in the truth. But it's also biblical to have godly role models. People who encourage us in our faith. As Hebrews 10 puts it, people who stir us up to love and good works. The kind of people you want to spend some time with. People who have a good testimony with everyone. Whose lives are consistent. They're consistently walking in the truth. They're consistently doing the right thing. Great to have those kind of people in your life. Especially when you're weary. Especially when you're discouraged, when it's easier to give up or to give in. I wonder if you have any spiritual role models. I can think of many godly role models. People who have spoken into my life, who've set an example, even if they don't know that themselves. People who have had a good testimony. And it's, as I look to them, I think, I can imitate them as they imitate Christ. I can think of some, not all alive at the moment. I think of my grandfather, who was probably the greatest godly example. Great godly example, because I knew him so well. I had spent so much time in his house. I knew him better than anybody else, probably, in a local church context. And he set a great example. I knew what he was like, and I knew he was consistent. He was consistent in doing what was right. He was consistent in his love for Christ. And a bit like Hebrews 11, where it talks about Abel, he being dead still speaks. There are people who are dead who still speak to us. They still set us an example to imitate them as we imitate good and live our life here. There are lots of people who are still alive who have a good testimony and set a godly example for us to follow. There are people sitting here this morning, consistent in their walk with the Lord. There's people in this building, and they're consistent in the way they show love. And they're consistent in the way they imitate good, and they encourage us in our stir us up to love and good works. Can you think of somebody who's godly this morning? Somebody who has that consistent testimony? That's the kind of person you want to spend time with. Don't sit beside them on a Sunday, chat to them, ask them questions. Maybe spend time with people like that, saying, can I pray with you? Can I ask you questions? Can I ask your advice on things? Seek out people who are going to have a godly influence on your life. And imitate them as they imitate we all need to be people who are imitating evidence that we're actually from God. And as John finishes off this letter, he finishes by saying he's much more to write. But instead of writing it down, he's just written a short letter here. He'd rather talk face to face, talk in person. Some things are better said face to face. And he wants to keep encouraging his beloved friend Gaius here. And he wants to encourage him to keep walking in the truth. But as we finish this morning, as we finish this sermon, as we finish this short letter, 3 John, the reality is if we profess to be Christians this morning, we are going against the flow. We're going against the flow of society, and we're going against the flow of our culture today. And the other truth is we are going to face increasing hostility. We are going to face increasing opposing views. So how do we respond? Do we give up? We just walk away? Do we give in and just go with the flow? Just go with society? Let's just go for an easy life. What would the Apostle John say to us? Keep walking in the truth. Keep to the line. Keep walking in the truth. Keep showing love. Keep imitating good. Remember, society may change. Laws may change. People may change. But some things will never change. God is still sovereign. God is still the mighty God. Jesus Christ is still alive. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is still the only way for salvation. Truth is still truth. So what's our response? Keep walking in the truth. Truth is still worth walking. Dear Father, we just pray that you would help each one of us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pray for each one of us if we know you as Lord and Savior, if we know the truth personally in our lives. Pray that we would keep walking in the truth. Times we feel discouraged, times we feel weary in doing good. Help us to keep walking in the truth. Help us to keep showing love. Keep imitating good. To keep doing the right thing. Pray you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. Strength. The ability to keep walking in the truth. We pray, Lord God, that we would be an encouragement to one another. Thank you you've placed us in a local church. We're not a group of lone walkers out on our own. May we be an encouragement to one another. And may we stir each other up to love and help us, Lord God, walking in it with this assurance that you're faithful and you're the God who never, ever. Help us, we pray.